future we were promised.
Okay, settle down. No, wait, stop it. Hijinks and Soup Podcast, episode 8080. I don't know why that feels important, but it does. It seems like a bit of a milestone. It's not. Maybe 100 would be. 50 was probably big. I bet we did some shit on 50.
It was called Fitty.
Fitty. Okay.
I remember.
Wow, you.
So I was there.
Oh, really?
And
what did
I
we
am.
Do? Let's talk about that for an hour. What did we do?
Let's just try and recreate it.
We could listen to it.
I didn't listen
and,
to it.
And
so.
Comment
it's like that,
on what we listened
it's
to.
Like that movie Primer. We can have a one earpiece in one ear, and then we'll say everything we said in that podcast. Roger, you weren't there, so you should
know. No, well, we could all switch roles.
Listen, guys, for this 80th...
You can just tell me when it was recorded, and I'll do my best to, you know...
just to
you could
approximate what things were like a year and a half ago. Or...
Verily, we did commence
I'll try
recording.
And do a 2008 accent.
You could always jailbreak your BMW and time travel back to that episode.
No, you can do that with you can do that without jailbreaking.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good.
That's a little thing that you flip. It's Bluetooth. So, as always, this episode of Hijinks and Soup Podcast is brought to you by Trace Feo. Trace Feo... The malt liquor caffeinated beverage, what doesn't kill you makes you drunker, then it kills you.
Tres Feo.
Tres Feo. We do appreciate them sending in a few cases. I should point out that's why you haven't seen Eli in a while. He died.
He's actually
wow.
He died.
Dead because he's in the drink.
I don't understand what that means, but
with extra
it's
Eli.
Made of Eli.
Oh, it's like Soylent malt caffeinated liquor.
Tres Feo.
Tres Feo.
Quiero beber.
Qué rico.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Anyway, so thank you to our sponsors, Tres Feo.
Also, that was very good, actually.
Also,
better Spanish than I could ever
do. I'm sure it is. Also, as always, our bandwidth is provided by Infinistorm. Check out infinistorm.com/hijinks for some specials on virtual private server hosting. Again, when you need to get off that fucking dream host and get your server some big boy pants, call Infinistorm. They will help you out, and they will do it with a smile and maybe a tug job afterwards. Who knows?
Ooh.
They don't do that.
Oh.
Aw.
Tres Feo.
Tres Feo.
Tener sabor que Eli.
I just looked at him and he had this look of panic in his eyes.
Like, gotta come up with something.
What the fuck am I gonna say? The secret is, at least for me personally, it doesn't matter what you say as long as it's in Spanish. It's funny. Really, really like that. That's good. We'll keep that up. You might want to go ahead and pocket a few
cash
of those.
Some
yeah,
of those.
Cash
oh,
some
for another.
And we'll just, I'll hit you every once in a while when you're not expecting it. We are recording today on the date of the launch of the final mission of the Space Shuttle Discovery. We might talk about that later. Maybe
Godspeed.
Not. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's in space right now, as far as I know. It's still
hanging
out.
Did it make
it?
Is it there yet?
It's spaced. It's there.
It's there.
I don't think it's space station-y.
Now, is it? It's not. Space-y. It's just in the beginning parts of space. It's not even an outer space.
I don't know, man. I don't know how that works. I
mean,
only
medium space.
It took them 5 minutes to get halfway there, so I'm assuming another 5 and they'd be pretty much there.
I hope so.
Can you imagine a 10-minute trip to outer space? Like, that's just nuts. At one point, they were going 7,000 miles an hour.
13,000 is like their cruising speed.
I don't even think I can go that fast.
No, probably not. I mean, not even in current vehicles.
No. Even in a jailbroken BMW.
Yeah.
Well, there's different speeds at different stages. When they were leaving Earth, it was 7,500 miles an hour. I think when they disengage all boosters and it's just coasting.
Kick on the NOS.
When they do that, yes, they flip up the little secret hatch in the gear shift and then big red button that says don't press. And You know, they've got...
That's what you want in a space shuttle.
They've got Vin Diesel driving spaceships now. Wow. So, yeah.
Wasn't this Mark Ruffalo
the co-pilot or something? I don't know, I can't remember.
That's weird.
Who it is. But
wasn't today's launch brought to you by Tres Feo?
Tres Feo!
Ay, Dios mío, I got nothing. I was thinking about space shuttles.
No, you suck. You suck. You know what? I can give you a post-it if you want to jot some down. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about space and why we should never go into it because it's terrifying. But the other thing I wanted to mention, you know, you might be wondering now, this is three episodes in a row with the B team, the Hijinks and
the
Sue B
crew.
Team, the weekend, the night shift. Ooh, the night shift. That's good.
I like that. Yeah.
Spell it with a wrong, like N-I-T-E. And then it would be a
with
porno.
With a K. Please. With
yeah.
K.
Well, then that would be a medieval shift. Porno. Yeah. Night shaft.
Night shaft.
I like that.
He's a valiant mother. Wish I had to shut your mouth on here. I don't think I have one.
Gonna impale you.
Let's see. I can do...
I want to be Sir Lancelot. Get it?
I can do like, night shaft. He's a bad mother.
Freeze turkey.
Oh, and I haven't even introduced anybody yet. Holy shit. So anyway, I guess it kind of flows into what I was saying.
We're all friends by now.
We do have...
We know. They know.
We are joined... We were joined, as we have been for the last couple of weeks... 3 weeks. Trace weeks.
Trace fail. Trace fail.
Yeah, I'm done.
Nothing. Okay. Damn it. You're going to have to get more on the ball on this.
That's all that you've expended my...
Listen.
Shit.
The extent of my Spanish.
You've only read the first two pages of the...
Well, you could be like...
Ay, Dios. Yo quiero la biblioteca. Trace fail. ¿Dónde está el baño?
Dame el queso.
¿Dónde es Miguel? Miguel es in el baño. Tres feo.
Well, if he drinks enough Tres feo, he would be in
the
baño.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm. And then shortly thereafter, be like, Miguel es muerto.
Qué lástima.
Actually, what's Spanish for in critical condition?
Oh, man.
Critical condizione.
I believe that's
good enough.
Ay, Dios mío. Condizione critical.
Oh, yeah.
You just that's fake. So we do have Brown Dynamite, Alex Flores.
Dynamite. Con tres feo.
Also a side effect of drinking too much tres feo.
Yeah.
Is that
Dynamite.
You
Brown is Dynamite. Yeah.
It's a side effect. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It's on the can. Look, you drink it your own
it's
way.
It's yeah.
I'm going to put a call out there to the listeners. I want a tres feo stinger. Somebody, come on, step up to the plate. Mm-hmm. Tres Feo Stinger, please.
Tres Feo!
Tres Feo!
And who else is here? Roger Court.
All rise, Bud Court is now in session.
Is,
I love that.
Holding Roger Court here in the Hijinks Sue podcast studio.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Oh, thank God, finally.
Yeah. Please be seated in Spanish. You got that?
No. Let me see.
Por favor, siéntanse.
Yeah. Oh.
How about get on the couch? Like, I know El Sofá. So how would you say, like, get on the couch? Hey, you know what we've got? Shit. Look at this.
Technology.
No, technology is going to save us, you cocksuckers, because I got the Google Translate app that you just talk at, and it works surprisingly well. So let's do English to Spanish.
Even if it doesn't, we're not going to know
anything. No, we're not. Yeah, so here we go. Fine. Here we go. Everybody shut up. Everybody sit down. I'm talking to it right now. Oh, it only got part of that. Hang on. Sorry.
Ooh.
Sit down. All right, working finished. Sentarse?
Sentarse.
Sentarse.
Be seated. Okay.
Yeah.
Or siéntate.
So again.
That's what I was, yeah.
All rise, Bud Court is now in session. Sentarse. Pentejos.
If you've ever been in the Mexican legal system, I mean...
Yeah, that's pretty much
kind of how it goes.
¿Cómo están, bitches?
That's the bailiff.
Yeah.
El bailiff.
Then they file some pistolas into the air, and then everybody leaves, I guess.
Yeah,
I
don't know. And then they hit the piñata, and everyone cheers.
Yeah. Well, it's
have your siesta.
Well, okay, a trial in Mexican court and a quinceañera are basically the same thing.
Yeah, there's only a few degrees of difference.
There's a barbecue, there's elaborate costumes.
Pass a certain amount of people, it turns into a quinceañera.
Yeah, and, well, look, You get 50 Mexicans in a room, there's going to be a quinceañera. Yeah. And somebody's got a daughter that, you know, has a daughter who's 15. So, anyway, so Roger and Alex are here again. Eli, as you may know, is going to be getting married soon, and it seems like his whole life is just falling apart. And so I do want to offer my condolences. Not because of the wedding. Not because. No. That's the light at the end of the tunnel, as far as I can tell.
Yes.
But he is doing what they refer to in the video game making business as crunching, which does not involve abdominal muscles. It involves...
Well, it does, just not their condition.
Right. It involves ruining them. Right. Yeah. So he's working 19-hour days or something. Josh appears to have whisked away to some Bahama vacation.
Yeah, I think he's the king of Atlantis now.
Something like that. He did post a picture on his Twitter of him in a giant sea throne.
Yeah, I believe that was Aquaman's Lazy Boy.
I wonder if he's going to recreate that back tattoo of the gay mermaids jacking off like a fountain of cum on each other. Have you ever seen that one?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was envisioning that.
He
can't unsee it.
Tres loco!
It's Tres feo. Goddamn it.
Get lastima. Pinche pendejo.
If you Google, like, the gayest tattoo ever, it comes up with that. It's these two mermaids jacking each other off, and there's, like, a fountain of
cum
behind
them.
Wait a
minute. Mermaids?
Mermens.
No, but... Okay, where does it...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mermens with dicks.
Really?
Just coming right out of where they should. But, you know, they also have tails.
So like 55% fish or man, you know.
Not on these two. No, it's like 30% fish. It's a lot of man, if you know what I mean.
They have gills, in other words.
Dick gills, yeah. There's just a big... It's kind of anemone of dicks coming out of their necks. It's pretty gross, actually. So... Josh, yeah, he's off somewhere in the Bahamas on some sort of whirlwind vacation.
I think it's a summit or something.
Well, it seems to be.
Are they all there?
It seems to be.
all the gays.
Have you noticed all of the gays are gone? Yeah. They're all in the Bahamas. So they
everything seems a little bit less exciting.
Whenever they say, you know, they should put all the gays on the island, and then somebody says, you know, it's Manhattan, you're on it, that old joke. But it's not. It's the Bahamas. No. And they're all there. And so they're having a party. He's there with his boyfriend, I think, for work. They're his work. I don't know.
He's a medical doctor.
Well, sure. I don't want to say too much because I'm probably going to, you know, slander or libel him in some way before the end of the show.
One of my best friends is a medical doctor.
I think he's a gastroenterologist or something. But
okay, now you've gone too far.
He's mentioned. If I Google gay Dallas gastroenterologist, I'm going to find this guy. Josh has mentioned things about like bosses being sucked up to, and again, I still think it's just gay talk. I can never tell what's code and what's not.
Oh, that's what he meant.
He also seemed to have posted a picture of like a $50 an ounce steak, Japanese Kobe beef or something.
Oh yes, it was actually the other expensive beef.
Listen, I'm not saying anything. About
Wagyu?
Yes.
I'm not going to disparage any of the people that Josh has dated in the past, but let's just say he traded up. He definitely traded up.
Oh.
Financially. Not character-wise. I'm just saying monetary reasons.
No, actually, when I did have a little hospice visit with Eli this past Sunday to check up on his welfare, we actually brought that up, and we were very happy and very excited for our friend Josh.
Why? Why would you ever want happiness for him? He's just a rotten fucker. I mean, he's just a horrible person. So.
You know this personally, that he's a terrible fucker?
No. I would wager nobody. No, I would say he can't. I would wager he can't keep a in a sugar daddy situation. He probably doesn't have much more to offer than being a nice little piece of ass, you know?
Oh, well, you know.
Because he's a bad person, so.
He has no soul.
You know, do any of us? Especially not him. I mean, if anybody does, it ain't him. So,
how do you say soul in Spanish?
El sol. That's the sun. I don't know. Tres feo. El sol. I don't know.
Tres feo.
I have no idea. Listen, Hygiene Soup Podcast, you started this timer probably about 5 minutes into it. So I'm guessing we've been going, what, about 12? What's that number say back?
I don't know. It's
14. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. Jinx and Sue podcast, episode 80. As always, brought to you by the fine, fine folks at Tres Feo.
Tres Feo!
Tres Feo! Tres Feo! Oh, you sucked at that. You look.
No, that was a little echo.
You know what you did? Yeah. You know what you did?
I was jumping
Listen, you stunned us with excellence by accident at the beginning. And now there's no way you can live up to it. There's nothing you can. Maybe I can throw some reverb on that. Let's see.
Es muy caliente.
If I do like, I bet it's going to be one of these like this. Maybe one of these. Let's see.
Tres Feo!
Quiero beber.
What does that mean?
He wants to drink.
I want to drink.
Oh, so you've ordered drinks in Mexican vacations? You've gone to Cancun?
Yeah, you know.
Dos cervezas. Y caffeine.
That's what it's.
Yeah, that's right. That's
it's
right.
It's caffeine beer.
Tres Feo. Tres Feo!
We need one of those horns, those reggae horns.
Tres Feo! Dos cervezas y caffeine, por favor! Tres Feo.
Tres Feo. Okay, so look, I believe they've gotten their two cases of Tres Feo worth of endorsement out of this.
Do we have to keep drinking it?
You do.
I'm just mainlining it now. I don't.
I've got an IV set up, so we're doing fine. We're going to talk about this space shuttle, this thing they've put in the outer space. And what else were we going to do? I was going to mention something. Oh, I was going to mention, listen, guys, if you enjoy this show and you think it's a good thing to have in your life and you enjoy how it's free, here's a way that it cannot be free. You can give money at hijinksu.com/donations for the Hijinksu podcast. I do want you to know that if you are signed up for the Vault, with a rolling monthly subscription, you're going to get so many extra hours of podcast. You're going to get the uncut show, which is, typically a good 30 minutes to 45 minutes longer than the actual show we cut and edit and put out there for the downloading public. You're also going to get the post show. In the post show last week, there was at least 30 minutes of me singing 80s pop hits auto-tuned like T-Pain. So look, what else could you ask for? For the episode 79 post show alone was maybe the best thing I've ever done.
I don't think you can put a price on something like that.
Mm-mm, but I
I'm
can.
Going to, yeah.
But yeah, it's like $5 minimum a month. I'd prefer more like 20.
Steal it twice the price.
Yeah. And that's also available. You can do a $10. So I do want to
sure. Say,
and again, steal it twice the price. There is there's a $20 monthly subscription. I don't offer a 40, but I do allow multiples of 20. So sign up for like 10 $20 subscriptions.
Sure.
I won't even stop you.
Uh-huh.
It's a good idea. So hijinksu.com/donations, please consider supporting the show. It's 100% listener supported because this podcast has no ads except for
Tres Feo. Tres Feo.
And there's no merchandise. It's all listener supported. So please, consider that. I also wanted to mention, do you guys know, you ever see these guys, these soccer parents with the big SUVs with the stickers on the back that say their child's name,
mm-hmm,
and like a sticker of the ball that they kick or hit?
Sure.
Or run
so
around
you know who at. To shoot.
Yeah, so it's like Justin with a Y, yeah, or like Kristen with two Ys.
They really do most of the work for the whole abducting them for you.
Yeah,
They do. They give you a way to follow them for a while and
hey,
see
Justin,
where they live.
Hey, Justin, I'm from soccer school.
Yeah.
Would you like a scholarship?
I'm a recruiter from the soccer.
Yeah.
Did your van come with a manual or something? Is that?
You can see where they park. Yeah. Well, he's just on the chat. He's in the chat rooms. You know, he's on the message boards for this kind of thing.
Wow.
When you buy a van, they give you some literature and some URLs. And they're like, sure. We understand what you're going to do. No one wants this to drive in. We understand. So they... which couches don't quite fit in vans, that kind of information.
Oh, man.
So anyway, I live in a suburb of a suburb. So there are, everyone has these stickers. And I kept for months, I was seeing this one black SUV that said, it's got like a softball on it. And it says Lisa.
Hmm.
But Lisa is spelled L-E-A-Y-S-A. And I find this infuriating. Infuriating that parents cannot.
Well, parents don't know how to spell anymore.
They know how.
It's
they choose
snowflake
not
syndrome.
To. You want them to be unique, like a beautiful little snowflake?
Yeah, and that's how you do it.
We see all of these, you know, Taylor with like a Z somewhere, like there's an extra, there's a silent K.
Taser.
Yeah. But you can't say it that way. It's the most mundane of names, like, you know, Bill BYQHL or something like that. So me and my wife are venting every time. We're like, God damn it, it's fucking Liesa again. We're behind them at every light. We see them at Walmart. And it's a small little suburb, so it's not unlikely that we would see them. But it was getting insane. And then I see another car with fucking Liesa on it. And I'm like, that's both of her goddamn parents. Or it's the Little Elm, like, Athletic Youth Sports Association. And I feel like a fucking moron.
That actually might be what it is.
I looked it up and it was.
No.
Turns out that it's every SUV is black. And so we just assumed it was the same people. Because look, it's like it's a giant Chevy or it's a giant GMC or a giant whatever. They all look the same from behind.
I was hoping it could be an acronym for her name, like Daryl.
Yeah. Ooh.
She might be a cyborg.
Yeah.
She might be a super intelligent cyborg.
That's awesome. Depending on the number of balls she has above her name. I mean, she could be really talented, like artificially so.
That's true.
Or it could be one of those things like a
calculator.
It could be one of those things like where when you shoot down a MiG, you get to put a stamp on the side of your plane. Sure. So it's like, I've killed four Liesas. Stamp. The same thing when they put up the stickers that it's like, you know, it's like daddy displaying and mommy and then three kids and a dog and like their names are under them. And you could literally like follow them to a park.
I can't stand that.
And get
things.
In and be like, hi, I know your dad, Jim, and your mom, Pam. I've seen your dog, Scruffy, in my van. My name's Roger. And like, let's go. I'm not suggesting you do that. I'm just saying it's something you could do and maybe you should do it. I don't know. Teach somebody a lesson.
Or have done.
Teach somebody a lesson.
I blame the baby on board sign.
Kickstarted the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I say in about 10 years, we're going to have little marquees on the sides of all automobiles, giving us all detailed information from their
just a social security number.
Yeah.
And I bet a lot of these people are the same people that have the big issues with like online privacy. And,
right.
You know,
I
don't do the online banking because someone could get my information.
It's the people that don't do online banking but post all of their family pictures on Facebook.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They should all be kidnapped. No, which... It's dress
fail.
Some of them should be kidnapped to teach some of the other ones a lesson. That's all I'm going to say on the subject.
Example kidnapping.
Yeah, we just need.
Yeah, I can do that.
We need some.
You got the van. Yeah. You can literally do that, right? Yeah.
Can you get a vanity plate that says like MBRLRT, like Amber Alert?
Oh man.
Wow. It would
be so great to drive a stalker van.
We have seven letters in the state now. That opens up all sorts of...
AMBRLRT, maybe.
Yeah.
Amber Alert.
Amber Alert.
And that's kind of a Texas way of saying it, too. So,
the old Amber Alert's off again.
That would be so great to have a pedo van.
Better call Roger, who's got that big old van.
And then you've got a sign that says, like, no kids on board, but there could be.
Yeah.
There will be soon.
Tres feo.
Always looking.
And instead of a sign, like, instead of writing in shoe polish, like, a for sale sign or whatever, you write, like, need help with couch at all times. Like,
always a couch.
Stop for assistance, please. Need couch help. Whatever. I feel like such a goon for not realizing sooner that I was seeing a fleet of SUVs and not just one stupid family. Whatever. So Space Shuttle Discovery is our internet's been down since last night, which is the conduit of all information into my life, and I found myself just kind of sitting staring at my computer. Like, when are you going
to... Waiting,
knowing what to do.
Well, it's because what I would normally do is, like, my routine is, like, walk around the house, get a drink out of the fridge, come back in here, sit down, and then I would do that out of habit and then go, what's next? What do I do? Can't... Right, that's not going to... That little box is going to be empty, and then the big box is going to be empty, and then the email's not going to say anything for a while, so what do I do? And I just kind of sat here. I'd open a text document and be like, well, I can do this.
I can make my own internet.
Typey, type. Okay, that was fun for a second.
Chatting with yourself.
Yeah. I guess. So it was down for most of the day, and we had them come out and fuck with it. But I as soon as it came back on, I see on Twitter, they're like, oh, the shuttle launch, it's happening right now. And it's the I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And I run in there, and then I realize this will be, I think there's only one more. So this is like my kid's only chance to see a shuttle launch.
There's two more.
Two more.
Okay.
There's the Endeavor and Endeavor Atlantis. Endeavor and Atlantis. They're still slated to launch.
So
I mean, you can sabotage one.
After all three of them are up there, do they just disengage from the docking clamps and they just give them a good push?
Yeah, and like, then you hear the original theme of Battlestar Galactica as it goes to the sun.
Yeah. Godspeed, Endeavor. Oh, you see you later, guys.
How are we getting back?
Oh. Well, they put their dead or wounded or just annoying.
They open up the cargo hold.
The Russian.
And then they light it on fire and it just.
There's like the a Viking funeral. The space fire, sure. We'll spend $100 billion of taxpayer money to burn fire in space. It's a.
They will figure it out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not because it is easy, but because it is hot.
We do these things and the other things because it is cool to see the fire in the space.
Fire.
Fire in space is wicked cool. What better way? It's actually in his will. It's like
that's what all this is leading up towards.
If I am ever shot in the head in Dallas, Texas, my last will and testament is to be placed in the cargo hold of a space shuttle as yet to be invented and shot on fire into the sun.
From Massachusetts or Brooklyn?
A little bit of both. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Accent.
Yeah.
It's one of
Northeast.
Those. Yeah. Accent of the country that they... would anyone? You couldn't even do that. You couldn't even do that in parody if he had like a Midwestern accent. You couldn't even respect him. I mean, because like fucking like Sarah Palin sounds like that, even though she's not Midwestern. Mm-hmm. Could you really honestly have a man running our country with a Fargo accent? Yes.
We're going to have to go bomb you now.
That Cuban missile crisis.
Crackers, jeez. Oh, so anyway, guys, we're going to go to the moon. Oh, yeah, it's going to be great.
Won't that be fun?
It's going to be really fun. Just everybody load up in the space shuttle, and we're going to go to the moon. Well, no, we do these things not because they're easy, guys. Jeez, no, because they're hard. Because
they're freaking hard. Wait a minute, what?
That's wicked hard.
Yeah.
No, that's the New Jersey president.
Aww.
We're going to go to the moon because it's wicked fucking hard.
Wicked hot.
Wicked hot over here. Speaking
just
of
like
accents,
my abs.
On the subject of space shuttles, I watched The Town.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I swear
you
to God.
You're still trying to figure that out. That's why you got the Google translator,
it was.
Right?
I just held it up to the TV the whole time. It was like a Guy Ritchie movie. I had no fucking clue what anybody was saying. There'd be 5-minute stretches, and me and my wife would look at each other and go, did you know nothing? No, nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing at all. Okay, cool. All right, cool.
That's like the... when Russell Brand was on SNL a couple weekends ago, and they did a little SNL digital short,
the British movie,
the trailer for British movie,
and that was good. That was good.
What was that? Was that backwards?
Yeah, that was good. It was good. I appreciate episodes of SNL like that because I don't have a lot of time, and so when I can watch them in like 6 minutes and be done, that's good because like I can watch that,
the highlights,
the middle of Update. And like the last sketch.
I got to say that the special this past weekend was pretty good.
Didn't watch all of it.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
I've got it on the DVR. I'd hoped for more behind the scenes, and it was mostly just circle jerking.
You know what it was? Yeah, it was one big mass appeal to the audience, to America, saying, "Hey guys, look, we've been doing this a long time.
Remember how awesome our show was?
Yeah, come on, we've done a lot of firsts. You should keep watching us."
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a. It was called like Saturday Night Live backstage, never before seen behind the scenes. No, it was like Tina Fey going, "I had a really great time, great cast, great crew, everything's great," and then like a clip of John Belushi, and then next, and it was.
I had no idea that Kenan Wayans was on that show for like a split second, like literally,
like as a cast member.
Yes, as a cast member. They showed that. They went into that little bit.
Well, it must have been that little 80s stint where you had like Robert Downey Jr.
The Lost
and people
Years
like
and
that.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah, and Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, Julia Louise Dreyfus.
Yeah.
What's his name? Psycho, hiding out in Canada. Uncle Eddie.
Who? Quaid?
Yeah, Randy. Quaid.
Randy Quaid.
Quaid.
What? Open your mind, Randy Quaid.
Clagan, you got what you wanted. Give these people air.
I like that better than your Spanish. Can you do that in Spanish?
Tres feo.
Come on, do it. Kill me, I'm here. Come on!
Batman of the Threats Veil!
Drink it! Drink the air!
Drink it now! Oh, andale! Man. Do it! Get to the bottle opener!
Yeah. Speaking of Space Shuttle Discovery,
also known as, was it STT-133?
Whatever. THX-1138?
Yeah, that was it. That was the name of the mission, right?
Man, I like that. I like, I think your time would be better spent, I think, cause I'm pretty sure we think we've exhausted all of the Roger talk that we're going to get out of you. So maybe maybe just Schwarzenegger in Total Recall for the rest of the time.
I'll do what I can.
Get the ass to Mars. Get the ass to Mars.
Oh, that's a good movie. I'm so sad they're remaking it because it's perfect. It's a perfect film. There's nothing wrong with it. That's just depressing.
I'm glad they're getting that RoboCop statue in Detroit.
Know what? I think that's the weirdest goddamn thing ever.
Nothing but good news.
Yeah, it's good.
I've got a photo of myself in front of the Freddie Mercury statue in freaking Switzerland. I'm going to go up to Detroit.
Is it just a mustache and teeth?
Yeah, it's just a big old schlong and balls.
It's a schlong, okay.
With an overbite.
And with a little slight overbite, and it's sustaining this really magnificent note the whole time.
Right. There's actually a town that can't be occupied because it's just going.
It's actually one of the most magnificent statues I've ever seen. It's in Montreux, and it's right on the lake, right on Lake Geneva. It's pretty awesome. I can only hope that the RoboCop statue is more awesome.
I mean, that's really sort of a great bookend when I think of, statues to be photographed.
Yeah, my life will be complete if I can do
that. I see potential for bad news with that. Like, if they pick the standard vanilla RoboCop pose, the, like, I'm going to shoot you in the face pose, I think they should do the Murphy as he's getting turned into hamburger by 1,000 machine guns.
That would be good, yeah.
As the statue.
Just the parts.
Just
everywhere.
A pile. Yeah, and it could be a fountain.
See, we should get in Dallas the Alex Murphy, human, memorial. And then Detroit can have the RoboCop statue.
Well, we have that
Can we put that right in the American Airlines Center, where Clarence Boddicker's hideout was?
Right next to the memorial for the guy who got totally morphed by the radioactive goo. Remember that guy?
There's a guy.
He got hit by a van. You should.
When he just.
Yeah, when he just.
Right. Yes. He jibbed. Oh, God.
That, yeah.
When I was like 8.
That's where the Mavericks play.
Those were things where I was like, yay, this movie is really appropriate for me. Oh, my God. No.
Threats fail.
And then I can't dream for a week and a half.
That was pretty gnarly.
Those were things I was not prepared to see as a child. But we have that. We have that one place, that little corner downtown by the courthouse,
on the corner
with all the bronze people that are just sort of occupying a corner. You know that place?
Wait, what?
Yeah, no.
Those aren't bronze people, Joel. Those are
homeless people.
those are homeless people.
There's a place over by where they used to do First Saturday. It's under the Marriott or something, or the Adams Mark, and it's just there's just 9 or 10 bronze dudes out in a sort of a park.
Yeah, there's a few of those scattered throughout.
It's very much like the child reaching for the severed hand from Arrested Development. Anyway, we could repurpose one of those as Murphy. Like we could Murphy. We could put machine guns in all of their hands and then add exploding Murphy.
You know what?
Half a Murphy in there.
Yeah.
Screw everything I said. We need a fucking Ed 209 in front of City Hall.
Yeah. But a real one.
Yeah, a real one in front of
City Hall.
To shoot
all the people going into City Hall.
Who works about as well as
I love the immediate failure of Ed 209. It's literally
debut
within. It's 60 seconds of ladies and gentlemen, Ed 209, serve and protect,
and then smoke.
Yeah, and then they just the one guy. Everyone that gets shot in that movie gets shot 1,000 times, and that one
I love
guy.
It. There's that one long sustained shot that lasts for about 10 seconds of just Ed 209 shooting, and it's like
guy is literally it's tracking him, and he's running behind chairs, and he's like, and it's like, man, I know this is dumb, but this is kind of a good movie because it's like this is what you would do. You wouldn't be thinking about the fact that I bet that gun the size of my entire body could probably shoot through this chair. But this is a nice chair, so I'm gonna hide behind this chair and see what happens. And just that guy just jibs too. The whole thing's just terrifying.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's not a movie for kids.
No,
sure.
It's
I was
not
to watch that.
It's a movie for visionaries.
So anyway, to wrap up our shuttle discussion, RoboCop.
What city gets the cyborg ninjas?
From what?
RoboCop 3, the terrible one.
Oh,
you know,
Jesus.
Did we just not talk about that?
I blocked
that's
that
the one where he's got the jetpack, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Were they PG-13'd it for the kids?
I'm almost positive I haven't even
isn't
seen
that. Isn't
that
where he, like...
It's awful.
Doesn't he hang out with the homeless
like,
people
RoboCop
in the church
bad,
or something?
But yeah, they go underground.
Yeah.
Okay, then
and
I have
they
seen
join
that
the
one.
Resistance. Because
he gets all shot up, and then they kind of sort of fix him underground.
The hobos come out and fix him.
He gets all shot up every time. I mean, that's kind of...
Another good statue would be like the one where he's eating baby food
in his chair
with the mask off and like his limbs are removed. Sure. And that could be a fountain too. I mean, there's fountain potential.
You can get really weird with that where he's like kind of in his chair and he's got like a pieta. He's kind of holding.
Yeah. Oh, you know, he's holding himself dead.
As Murphy, like half.
Totally like with face half off.
Well, he's got
off.
A bucket of Murphy.
Yeah.
And then like a Walmart bag full of the bigger parts of Murphy.
There you go.
The non-liquid parts.
Mm.
Tastes
like baby food.
Okay. Yeah. No. And I had this mishmash memory of parts of RoboCop that I realized weren't actually from RoboCop, but they were from a movie called Eliminators. Have you seen that?
Oh man.
No.
I recommend that everyone go to YouTube, put in Eliminators. It's not the movie Mandroid, but the main character's name is Mandroid. So you look up for a year. I was like, "It's called fucking Mandroid." Then I look up Mandroid, and I'm like, "That is not that movie."
Mandroid.
Out of nowhere, I was googling guy with tank legs. Fuck, guy.
Oh, I hate when you do
time travel guy, robot, cyborg, tank legs.
Guy and with a cannon in his chest, literally.
Finally, I get Eliminators, and it is amazing. And the whole thing is on YouTube in like 10 or 12 parts,
awesome.
And it. It is about an evil scientist who creates Mandroid, which is a guy just wearing a giant bits and pieces of a cyborg costume.
Yeah.
And
sweet.
It very for like a 10-year-old in the '80s, it was amazing. I mean, he takes off his arm and puts on a machine gun and pulls his legs off and hops on some tank treads and then goes and kicks ass with the tank treads and.
That's
phenomenal.
That's another one of those visionary movies.
It is unbelievably it is so bad by comparison to RoboCop. Right. It actually, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not a theatrical movie, if it was made for TV, because it ends with like a – it ends where you expect to see that thing with the guy typing and then he pulls the paper out.
Dun, 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 oh, yeah, Stephen J. Cannell Productions.
Yeah. Or like a Donald P. Belisario production or something like that. It literally ends with like a freeze frame of all the people like, we saved Mandroid. Yay!
Yeah, high
and
five.
There is kind of a high five moment. Right. And then like the girl that looks like Marky Post is smiling. Oh, it's not that she looks like Marky Post. It's that
she
is.
Marky.
No, it's that she is Denise Richards. She's Tasha Yar. Not Denise Richards. Denise Crosby.
Yeah.
She's Tasha Yar. And this is either immediately before or right when she left Star Trek.
It was after she got consumed by the tar monster.
Yes. Okay, so yeah, then it was right after she left Star Trek. And it is just beautiful. It's just a sight to behold how terrible, terrible, terrible this movie is. The bad guy is is the mad scientist that created Mandroid and tried to have him disassembled for no reason. And literally this guy walks him out and he's like, all right, let's do a test with the Mandroid. I believe he's almost operational. Like, Mandroid, do a jumping jack. All right, shoot your laser. All right, oh, he works great. And the guy goes, yes, take the Mandroid back to the lab. He's like, Mandroid, go back to the lab. And he goes, when you get him there, disassemble him. He's like, dun, dun, dun.
So evil.
Yeah. But it's like they spent what possibly billions of dollars building this Mandroid.
I wanted to do it just to see if it could be done.
And I'm done with it. Oh, and the Chekhov's gun in this movie is the fact that every time you see the scientist, he's polishing a big golden shield, like a Roman shield. Like, what's he going to do with the shield? I'm expecting that to come into play later.
Never does.
And no, at the very end, he fashions himself a cyborg body made to look like Julius Caesar armor.
Whoa.
With the intent, this is his plan. He's also got a time machine. That's his other thing. He's going to take his Mandroid body and go back to ancient Rome and kill Julius Caesar and take over Rome as the Mandroid. I believe he wants to reshape the world in his
Mandroid
ideals.
Image.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wouldn't it be easier just to take over the current world with
as Mandroid?
Actually, well, less BS, you know? You show up with an android, what, they're just going to lay down their spears and you're done.
I guess.
God droid.
He could shoot lightning from his hands. I think he wanted to go back and be a god or something.
Yeah. Man droid. What? What?
No. But anyway, that movie's fantastic. Anyway, so I think that wraps up our shuttle talk.
Shuttle discovery. Yeah, so way to go, space.
Godspeed discovery.
Godspeed. Yes, thank you. John Glenn. I said they put John Glenn back up there, right? Or is this his Viking shuttle funeral?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I think so.
He's not dead, right? They put him in. He's still space worthy.
Either way, today's launch was brought to you by
Threats Fail!
Threats Fail!
No potable.
Space shuttle.
So,
space.
No consumer.
No consumer. Oh my god. No fumar. What?
That's the only way you're supposed to.
Do not smoke near Tres Feo. we watched the space shuttle and you sort of get that sort of misty like geek tear in your eye that like there's sort of a revelation that like I can't believe this is actually possible.
I can't believe they're still using those damn things.
Well,
that's
part of
it.
One of the things to me is like I guess I just grew up a little too late. The shuttle never looked new.
Yeah, no. It always looked like your uncle's old pickup.
It's always
because that's
like
what it is.
I think the shuttle is basically the biggest rape van. There's going to be some aliens, and that we're trying to help them get a couch in the shuttle.
Space couch.
Like, yeah, space couch. And it's like, pardon me, do you need help with your space couch? It's like, yeah, I've got my arms broken. I'm an astronaut. What are you, about a size 14? So, you make an alien skin suit. You tuck your penis between your legs, you do a little dance. So, but yeah, it's what, early 80s that they built Discovery, and this sort of fleet is kind of early 80s tech?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Columbia was like, what, one of the first ones back in the late 70s?
Do they have an iPad like duct taped to the dashboard now to be the computer?
That, yeah, they'll retrofit the gear and stuff on the inside.
Yeah.
Because a lot of, I remember reading, it was a while back, but I remember it might have been
it's actual gear.
I remember the last it's a steampunk shuttle.
Yeah,
mostly it is steam powered. Yeah. I remember the last crash, not the Challenger, but the last one, the reentry crash. What was that one called?
That one.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, when that one crashed,
I thought that was indifferent.
I remember them. Everyone was scrambling to find blame. And I remember one news station talking about how the computers were like Commodore type processors on board, and then also the ground computers to interface with the shuttle. They're working on like amber screen monitors with like C prompts and
it's just oscilloscopes.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Well, you know,
but you got to figure like they've got like a like once they reach like the Y2K problem, they just have like a calculator taped to the dash and like an iPhone taped to the dash and. They're using the like Google Maps to find space.
They're just calling each other on their phones to communicate. Yes.
We get closer to the satellite.
I'm gonna Skype to the
reception.
Shuttle.
Yeah.
God bless Harry Stamper. You know, I was watching the webcast today, and I forgot that today was the launch. And early in the morning, I was talking about movie soundtracks and certain themes that are overused in trailers with a friend of mine at work, and we brought up some of like Clint Mansell's work. And then we just started talking about Moon, and I was like, "Oh yeah, that sounds good." So I started listening to the Moon soundtrack.
Moon is great.
And then,
what a great movie.
When I saw the tweet, much like you, like, "Oh crap, the damn shuttle!" Click on the link to the NASA site.
Yeah, I got it with 4 minutes to spare,
and it's you know they have all the crosstalk between all the engineers, we gotta go ahead and But I have the Moon soundtrack going.
Case of Trace Fail.
At the same
case of Trace Fail. Case of Trace Fail.
Check that over.
Cross check. It's literally exactly what you hear in an airplane.
Over under.
That's all I know.
A lady comes out and she's like doing the seat belts, like with a little disembodied seat belt. And she's like, okay, and then this thing, and then that, and okay.
Hello, everyone. This is going to be a quick flight. So go ahead and.
It's going to be a 10-minute trip to outer space.
If you need to use the restroom, I suggest you do it right now.
We're going
to
be cruising at all of it.
Complimentary Tres Feo.
The very top. First class. We're going to be at 100,000 space feet. First class passengers, please enjoy complimentary Tres Feo. Coach passengers are a monkey and a dog. Monkey and a dog.
Try not to spill that.
On anything.
Well, it would eat through the shuttle.
So about like, I don't know, like 10, 12 minutes, you know, T-minus, I've got the Moon soundtrack playing. And it's like lining up perfectly with everything. And I swear to God, I thought the damn thing was just going to blow up or like a wormhole was going to open. Jodie Foster was going to fall out of it.
It's kind of a Dark Side of the Moon situation.
I'm okay to go.
I mean,
I'm okay to go.
They should have sent A Case of Trace Veil. God, I love that movie too. I hate it when people don't like Contact. I hate it.
I hate it when people don't like Carl Sagan.
Contact is a much maligned movie.
Really?
It is very difficult to find like three people that agree on it. It's got a very mixed review aura online of like, too long, it's too stupid, blah, blah. I want to live in that movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's fantastic.
Everything about it, like literally everything about that movie I find fascinating.
Even the weird, creepy guy that is super rich. And
Mr. Burns, yeah.
Yeah.
Space Burns.
Yeah.
I really enjoy Space Burns. No, and Jodie Foster just kills it in that movie. My God, is she good in that
movie.
Yeah,
you actually believe that she is really into all that.
Yes,
I believe her more than I believe the damn machine.
The thing, I think that people got pissed off that they think it got magical or metaphysical at the end,
right.
But it didn't.
Not
it was sort of a holodeck situation at the end, and I understand that, and I don't know, but I saw that when it first came out, and we were like, well, like 13 or 14 maybe, and I just fucking loved it. And then I watched it recently. I've probably seen it every few years since then, but I watched it about 2-3 months ago. And the thing I love the most about it is that it shifts –
Matthew McConaughey.
That.
Yeah. All right. Breast fail.
It shifts gears. So what's Spanish
Gabian.
For where's my shirt?
Gabian. What?
It's it shifts gears so many times, and every time it does, it gets better. It starts out as like sort of a kind of a mystery. You know, there's kind of a mystery. Like, we've got this signal, what's it mean? And you're watching them figure it out, and you're like, oh God, and you put the paper this way.
It's 3D.
You've got the blind Captain Sharp from Armageddon in there.
Yeah, yeah, so good. He's like, everyone shut the fuck up. I'm hearing something. And like, oh my God, that's good.
It's like,
yeah, here's, you know, the one guy farts.
Did you guys hear that? No? I bet you smell it though.
What a perfect scene to add a fart sound to.
Everyone, shut up.
Dead sound. God damn it. Somebody do that, please. Please. That's your next call to action is to add a fart to that scene.
Not because it is easy.
Sure, whatever. So, and then, you know, it shifts into like this, like, let's build this fucking thing, get out there, yeah, let's do it. And then she does it, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? And then you get back, and it's like sort of, the tables are just turned. Everyone's just fucking evil now, and they're all looking for someone to blame, and it's just a great movie. But the underlying concept of it, too, I remember when I was a kid, that was maybe, other than some Star Trek, I had not been presented with this idea of like time dilation. And so when that happened for me, it was kind of a Matrix moment. Like, right. And then when the lady goes, but it recorded 18 hours of static. And you're like,
bum, bum. All right.
I believe in Jesus. That I also
but
did
you
not,
don't, Ellie. So
when I was a kid, I didn't catch that either. I did not even understand the theological debate going on there. At all.
Yeah, well, you know, you just like the giant fucking gyroscope. Yeah.
Palmer, what was his name? Palmer Johns or something like that? Palmer Jacks, shirtless Jacks, something like that. So anyway, space shuttles are great. We're going to take a quick break and then be right back with some other stuff. Jinx and Two Podcast, episode 80. Let me give you one of these. Here with Alex Flores. Whoa. That ended quick. That happens every time. I don't like that.
It's because we're all out of Tres Locos.
Right. Alex Flores, Brown Dynamite, and Roger Court, Trace Feo.
Chill out.
Listen.
Big wad. Chill. Bring one more.
Oh man, listen, if you just heard us do an amazing pitch for Arnold Schwarzenegger's first comeback movie, then I was generous enough to add it into the show. If not, it's only available in the uncut show.
Otherwise, you'll have to live through the Ice Age.
I wonder. He needs to just throw that in into conversation. Like, so Arnold, do you want to go have a picnic?
That would be ice.
Snow problem.
And then there's parts where he gets totally confused, where it's like, you need to go, you know, clear off the driveway so I can get my car out.
You mean with the snow shovel?
Wait.
That's actually what it's called. I mean, damn. Snow, I won't. Do it your snow self. Fuck! I just don't snow what I'm doing anymore.
I got the tundra of these things.
So for more of that, check out the uncut show.
Do it now.
Do it.
Come on. Get into the vault.
Make a donation.
Do it.
Oh, who is the podcast and what does he do? Well, that doesn't make any sense. So speaking of Arnold and speaking of the Hijinx Zoo podcast, many, many episodes ago, early on, I'm thinking before we hit the teens, there was talk.
You were doing this when you were a kid.
Yeah. We were 12.
Oh, that's nice. It's cute.
It's taking forever to download.
Mm-hmm. We were doing, we were talking about musicals that should be made. And one of them we came up with and sort of supposed was the Predator musical. And we did a little bit of a sort of improv Predator musical, you know, lyrics. Come to find out this week, someone who may have heard that, probably didn't, considering most of all of the world hasn't, actually made the Predator musical and put it on the internet.
They did not.
And it's amazing. It's so good.
It's easily as good as any real musical book that's out right now.
So better than Turn Off the Dark?
Oh, man. I'm going... They've also... And here's the other weird thing. They have made musicals for, like, everything we said in that podcast. Like, Schindler's List, the musical, mm-hmm. which was, like, a one-off line that Josh said. They made it. It's amazing.
So,
Jews... I'm surrounded by Jews. Like, it's really, really good. It's sung from the point of, what's his name? Rafe finds his character.
He who shall not be named.
Yeah, it's Voldemort's character. Yeah. Oh my God. He sings about, like, picking off Jews with his rifle. It's terrible. And it's one of those things where it's like, I'm doing what I love, but it's not making me happy or whatever. Like one of those musical moments.
It doesn't matter how many I kill. I'm still not happy.
Yeah, something like that.
Woe is me.
But it's amazing. So I'm going to see if I can play just a bit of the Predator musical. And they use the scores from the movies, which is also...
Right.
Just
they work it in. Yeah.
Are these the same guys that did their own Spider-Man musical?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, because I saw that.
So let's see here. Predator the musical... I believe the song is called If It Bleeds, We Can Kill It. Hang on.
Time to bleed.
Why am I not being able to play it? There we go. And the video matches up and everything.
It's using the trees. Watching and waiting, killing us off one by one. The chopper is close, but this thing is too fast. We won't make it, it's pointless to run. Talk, no more games.
I don't know what it was. The jungle came alive.
Go on.
It happened very fast. Not easy to describe. But you must have wounded it. Unless my eyes deceive. When the big man was killed, its blood was on the knees.
If it bleeds, we can kill it. She discovered the key.
Wow.
There is proof we can wound it.
This is amazing.
Yeah. So repeat after me. If it bleeds, we can kill it.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Here now, take a stand.
Here now, take a stand.
We can bring down this beast.
We can bring down this beast.
If we stick to the plan.
If it bleeds,
we can kill it.
Yeah, so...
Okay, this...
Oh, that's Billy.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
I can't turn it off. I need to, but I don't want to.
Two or three men out there at the most. Am I the only one who's awake?
Yeah. Anyway.
That is amazing.
It's probably the best thing on the internet right now, at least.
They've been working the Gonna Have Me Some Fun. I mean, it's...
Gonna Have Me Some Fun.
It's phenomenal. And a few people posted, sent this to me. I got a bunch of emails that were like, these guys ripped you off. And I'm like, no, even if on the slim chance they heard that, I was never going to do it.
Yeah.
And
so
it's amazing.
Congratulations to them. If they were inspired by this podcast,
go to YouTube. And I also, some guy sent it to me like on Facebook. And when I went and watched it, it had like 70 views or something. So
what do you look for at YouTube? Like, what is their channel?
Let's find out, because if you YouTube Predator Musical, you're going to find it, but they are,
let's give them some props in a case of Tres Feo.
You know what? It's kind of hard to see on the mobile app, like who they are, what they're called. Lego Lambs, LEGOLAMBS. And it's had 103,000 views since like 2 days ago when I saw it. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. They also did, like I said, Schindler's List, the musical, a couple of songs, I think. I don't think it's going to let me see their whole channel on here, but god damn, that's just amazing.
So let's pitch some other ideas for them to hop on to.
Jesus Christ. They did Conan. Musical. I haven't watched that one yet. I'm not as familiar with
talk show
the
musical.
Material.
Is that one?
No, yes. It's about Conan O'Brien. It's about the late night wars. So anyway, we talked about the Space Shuttle Discovery. I did want to mention, because I realized this during the break, that I remember being 8 years old. The Challenger had crashed 2 years prior. I think it was about 6 or 7 when it crashed.
Yeah.
I remember it being the very first time in my entire life that I thought about something bigger than just me and like Ninja Turtles. Like that was like the scope of my caring, my giving a shit was like me and can I get some more Ninja Turtles? And then when that happened, I remember being freaked out and watching the news and like caring about something that, you know, it's just weird. And I remember that very, very vividly. And I kind of decided, I don't know why, but it's like, I'm going to be an astronaut. Fuck this. I'm going to goddamn space. And for some reason, the explosion didn't scare me and I wanted to be an astronaut. So I wanted to be an astronaut from like 8, maybe all the way through 9, somewhere around age 10 or 11. And I was reading all these space books and learning as much as I could about space shuttles and astronauts and all this NASA shit. I saw Superman 2, and there's the part where, what's her name? Like Una or Ura or Ursa, Usa, what's her name?
Ursula.
Ursula, yeah, the sea witch. She she takes that one astronaut on the moon and just tosses him into space, just chucks him. And then like...
After she pulls off his patch and like his suit decompresses.
Yep. Yeah. And then this reality hit me where it's like, I know we don't have Kryptonians, but if anything happens to you,
there's a lot of stuff floating around
while you're in
the
weightlessness of space. For instance, if a crazy strong lady just tosses you into space,
sure,
you'll just float forever until you die.
Yeah.
And,
it's kind of like dropping your keys in River of Lava. Cause once you do that, man, they're gone.
That scared me so much. The idea of floating through space and knowing you were going to die as soon as your air ran out, and it might be like 8 hours from then, was so fucking chilling to me at like 10 years old. And I was like,
chilling.
I was like, I don't want to be an astronaut anymore. I'm going to go draw cartoons or something. This is terrifying.
Wow. So you owe where you are today to Superman 2.
More than one way.
Yeah.
I'd say in every way.
Sure.
You owe Superman 2 to you not being in space right now.
Oh, I'm not that smart though. I don't give a shit about school. So
math
never would have worked out. Mm-hmm. We show the kiddo the space launch, and at first we're like, these people, they're going into outer space, because all the cartoons she watched, they're like, let's go to space, and then they're on Venus, you know.
Right.
And so we've explained to her that people don't normally go into space, and it's not that easy, and we certainly can't go to Venus, you know. And she goes, we're going into space. And I'm like, no, not us. And she's like, we're staying here. And I'm like, yeah, no, we're staying right here, but we're going to watch
the
people.
Royal we.
Yeah. We're going to watch humanity. Some people go into space. And so she's like, oh, okay, these dudes are going to space. So for a while, she's like, whoa, oh, cool. Oh, yeah. Like 90 seconds into it, she's like, I'm going to go outside and play Frisbee. We're like, but they're still, what the, oh, the heat shield and the foam. Ah, damn it.
The space needs to happen a lot sooner.
Yeah, come she on. The, yeah. The 12 minutes it took to break the atmosphere was way too long for her, so she got bored. But at one point she said, we were talking about astronauts, and I said, you have to be very, very smart to be an astronaut. And she goes, yeah, and to be an actor.
I'm like, where did she learn that from?
Mm. And I was like, no, not really. Not, not the same way at all. No,
maybe she meant space actor.
Maybe, yeah, if they're doing like a Shakespeare in space.
Or Bruce Willis or something like that. God bless Harry Stamper.
He's a cocksucker. So, that's enough space talk. I'm sick of that shit. Let's talk. We did the Predator musical. We did, I don't even know if I want to talk about this because it's just so enraging. I guess the House voted today to cut funding to PBS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome. God knows no one needs anything PBS has ever done.
Yeah.
Which is great. My kid learned, this is what's fucked up. And I don't think you realize this until you're a parent that I think you might like want to approach a situation like, I'm not going to let my kid watch a bunch of fucking TV. The amount of shit my kid learned from Sesame Street is amazing. It is amazing the levels of development that got from that. Like, mm-hmm. we would watch it with her. We're not just plopping her down in front of it and going and doing other shit. But, like, even at, like, one, she would start referencing situations of, like, oh, I should share because Elmo had to share with Grover. And we're like, yes! Like, what?
Yes, thank you, Muppets! Sesame Street.
And I...
No, I virtually grew up on all the classic PBS programming.
And I think the scary thing is, like, there will be something that fills Sesame Street's place, let's say, if for some reason Children's Television Workshop has to take it off the air, but it's going to be for profit. So it's going to be, need to share my Doritos. Yeah. Right. You know,
I've got to share my Thresh Fail with my crappy felt sock puppet over here.
Cookie Monster is now Doritos Monster. Right.
Yeah. Elmo will remain Elmo, though.
Well, still, he's got a giant black man's hand shoved up his ass. So, there's a documentary about Kevin Clash.
Yeah, it's called Being Elmo or something.
Yeah, I want to see that really bad, like really bad.
I didn't know that was out there.
It's brand new. It just hit Sundance, and it's not found distribution yet. But I think it was one of the ones that was like a surefire.
Sure.
But still, probably not theaters. I would imagine. I mean, it'll come out one way or another.
Be on lookout. For it'll be like sort of an Angelica IFC, type thing. Or maybe even on IFC or Sundance Channel or something.
Yeah, not wide release, but I definitely want to see that.
It won't be on PBS, that's for sure.
Because he started as just a kid who was like...
He started out just a hand.
Just a hand. He was like, when he was a kid, he was like, I want to grow up and work with the Muppets. Mm-hmm. And then he did. And it's like, I said the same goddamn thing, but I didn't. You know, like that was... exactly what I wanted to do until I was like 14.
That's because he had the unfair advantage of being black and you're white.
Well, there's an affirmative action for you're like being black and purple and
Muppeteers.
Yellow,
you're being
red.
Held back.
So, but he's like an executive producer now of the Muppets, and
hey now,
he's high up in their ranks. And I think I could be wrong on this, but I think he has like part ownership of like the Elmo franchise, kind of.
I should hope so.
Also, yeah.
Because, I mean, he is Elmo. I mean, he really, really is. I mean, just why Kermit just isn't the same these days.
There's a lot of shit. Well, you know what? Steve Whitmire's a good puppeteer. I've not necessarily ever cared for his Kermit or any of the characters he replaced for Jim. You'll notice too that like Ralph pretty much disappeared.
Yeah, there's no more Ralph.
They just don't do Ralph anymore. Because I guess I don't know. I mean, it seems like somebody could do it, but whatever.
We'll see in the next Muppet movie, I guess.
Yeah, the one with Jason Segel.
Jason Segel's doing
it's gonna be bizarre.
And I think what's his name?
Arnold Schwarzenegger is.
Yeah, he's gonna be Mr. Snuffleupagus. Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Yeah.
Opposite of Jemaine Clement, the other half of Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, okay, that guy.
Yeah.
Not Jemaine. Less famous than Jemaine.
Yeah. Other guy.
Brit.
The guy that always said, what?
Yeah.
You know, like, what?
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 Brit and Jemaine. One of my favorite scenes from that show ever was when the various David Bowies come wake up Britt.
Hello, Britt.
And he's like, Britt, it's me, late 70s David Bowie. Does it freak you out that I'm walking on the wall, Britt? I'm
so trippy. And
like, I'm David Bowie from Labyrinth, Britt. Hello.
Dance, magic, dance.
We should stop this and just watch that skit real quick. That's really great. Everything about that is amazing. I actually, they're one of those guys, like, I feel like it's sort of like the first Tenacious D album, where they were underground for so long, and then they had an HBO show, and they used all of the material they had crafted for years and years and years to make this amazing first season and this amazing record. And then after that, they're like, oh shit, that actually didn't take us as long as people think. That took like 10 years.
Right. Yeah.
And now we have to do it again. And I think they were like,
we're all tapped out.
Yeah. That's what happened to Tenacious D. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, and it's good because it leaves well enough alone. Yeah. And it leaves everyone else hungry for more.
It doesn't leave well enough alone because their second album and their movie was terrible.
Oh, Tenacious D?
Yeah.
You didn't like the movie?
No.
Oh, come on.
It goes nowhere.
It doesn't need to go anywhere.
And the thing that I really don't like about it is it rehashes like 50% of the HBO show.
Yeah. Well, sure.
And that was funny then.
It was nice to see a so-called origin story, though. You gotta, come on.
I'm not sure that's something that...
Hey,
I didn't like it.
I'll take it. I
found it as a giant D fan. I found it crazy disappointing. But they're actually recording a new record right now.
Probably because you weren't
high.
Yeah,
probably. But maybe anything would be a little bit better.
I think they were counting on that. Which is why.
That was the problem, though. That movie did not say, "Hey, this is a stoner comedy. Come watch it." And then they threw that in there.
I don't think they had to.
I think they did for the 90% of America that had no idea what Tenacious D
was. Really bought in.
You know, I'm actually surprised that Liam Lynch.
And Liam Lynch is not that good of a
filmmaker. No, that's why. I'm like,
he's good at like, short little videos.
I love Syphil and Ollie.
Syphil and Ollie is one of my all-time favorites.
I've got a bootleg that I purchased
off
of eBay had taken.
I've got all
one of those MTV properties that was never released or something?
Yeah, yeah.
You get a lot.
And they have everything on there. It's all the episodes.
Did it use a lot of music? Because that's probably what happened to that one, too.
No. It was all original music.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was... Well, they did covers. I mean,
yeah, sometimes. But the other songs.
Because that's what happened to the state. Is MTV used to have this license where it's like, if we play the video, we can also do use whatever the song in anything.
Yeah,
and that gave them a whole block of programming they could never release on DVD.
Well, and that's why I was so disappointed when it finally did come out on DVD.
And they changed all the songs.
The Barry and LaVon sketch, which was one of my most favorite sketches, has a different. It's all fucked up because they stripped out the audio from the original audio. They stripped out the dialogue,
it's pretty weird.
Oh, sad.
I hate that.
But we were talking about Fly the Conchords. So anyway, that album is just amazing though. Like in the Bowie song, of all the songs on there, it was when that first came out, I'd put the Bowie song on like repeat forever and ever and over. And as you listen to it, you can hear them. Like there is an inherent comedy in music that I think a lot of people, unless you have ever played any music or are just a great appreciator of it, you might not realize that playing a note a certain way can be hilarious.
And
you can hear them go through Bowie's career in that song. Like as they switch parts, like one of them sings and the other one, they do different Bowie voices
you
know?
From the different.
So there's a lot of claps and like the Afro knots. And like, it's just so good. Can you hear me? Bowie. It's phenomenal. So I recommend that to anyone that hasn't explored that Fly the Conchords album. I don't remember why we started talking about them, but we did.
We're talking about Outer Space, right?
Sure. I feel like PBS. Elmo.
Muppets.
PBS, Elmo, Fly the Conchords, Tenacious D. That's what happened there.
Natural progression.
Yeah. Science.
Now the thing about PBS is I wonder, I guess they'll tell us soon enough. Is it going to be like, hey guys, guess what? We just got fucked. So now, unless we get a crazy amount of pledge donations, we're gone.
PBS and
just going to cut a bunch of programming.
PBS and NPR are just going to turn into a 24-hour pledge drive.
Pledge drive,
365 days a year.
I guess
because they already started that. I mean, before it used to be a seasonal thing, and then on NPR they we're going to do this, and then they flat out said, hey, you know what, guys? Much against what you might think, we actually are doing these now. anytime we have to until we get the money we need.
I will say
and
this.
And we won't stop until we get the money we need.
I will say this. It's not just Sesame Street. Like, pretty much everything that comes on PBS Kids and Sprout is, like, good educational television for children. And when and she was adults. That age, that's actually true. When she was that age, she's kind of outgrown a lot of the stuff on Sprout, at least, and she still watches a few things. Like, she's actually in between programming right now because she's about to turn 4, and she's not quite up to, like, Sid the Science Kid yet, but she's definitely kind of grown out of Sesame Street. But it's...
I think a Mr. Rogers kind of
It's not airing right
but,
now.
But that level, right?
I don't know, because that was... No, I mean, those hand puppets didn't really do a whole lot.
Yeah, but
you know?
I think with Mr. Rogers,
you get bored with that.
Sesame Street, you dealt with actual recognition of letters and numbers and shapes and colors. That's basic stuff. Then, like, with Mr. Rogers, it was more about, like, social situations.
Actually,
and, like,
Sesame Street turned into that.
Yeah, they actually, there was a lot of overlap with
Yeah,
Sesame Street actually had a, like, they would split it up. And, they'd split it up between, like, counting to 10 and then counting to 60, you know, and then, like, let's talk about racism, and let's talk about, not really, but, you know, kind of slide it in there. And let's talk about, you know, why you should share your crazy banana hat with your friend or whatever. Like, and I shit you not, it'd be a month after we saw the episode, and she would reference stuff and apply it to, like, real-world logical situations. And we're like, thanks, Sesame Street. But all the other stuff on there is the stuff that when she was that age, I was like, oh, please, can we watch something on PBS Kids instead of something on Nick Jr.?
Right.
It was just, oh, my God, it was so much better. But, you know, thanks, America, I guess. I guess, you know, I mean, it's. I suppose it's up to us now to fix it, save it, I suppose. I don't know. You know, we were talking last couple of shows about how, unfortunately, possibly fortunately, some of the best TV is these like History Channel reality shows now.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And you were talking about the gun show, the shooting show.
Top Shot.
I was talking about Pawn Stars. And now, in the last like 3 episodes, apparently in the gun show too, but not, and it's definitely been in Pawn Stars. You can clarify for me if it's happening in Top Shot too.
Okay.
They are now trying to create... what is the word? Narratives throughout each episode.
You tweeted about that, didn't you?
Fake shit.
Yeah.
Fake shit that's not even important.
Trumley has to go buy a new shirt because, you know, the one he's been wearing for the last 10 years disintegrated finally.
In the last one I watched, it was plenty interesting enough with the antiques and the weird shit they were buying and selling, but they put a narrative throughout the episode about how everyone was having bad luck. So it's like, Trumley, take this ball and chain we just bought and go put it over there.
They bought a woman?
And what? Then, yeah. And then the cameras are suspiciously in the right place instead of just following him. And then he, oh,
woo, 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 woo.
I dropped it through a glass case and broke a bunch of stuff.
Trumley!
And I'm like, what
Chief!
McCloud!
Trumley House!
I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And then later they buy an antique chair from somebody. And he's like, old man is like, Junior, I need you to go take this chair over to North Las Vegas.
That's pretty good.
Lady wants to buy it. And he's like, okay. And he throws it in the back of the truck, leaves the tailgate open, spins off, and the chair falls on the ground, disintegrates.
That's such.
And I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't need any of this. Like, the entertainment value was already there.
It's because American Pickers are kicking their butts is why.
But there's no fake shit in American Pickers.
Well.
I mean, a little bit. There's a little bit. Just a tad. And there was a tad. Oh, my God. And in Jesus Christ. In the Pawn Stars I saw after that, they were like, Chumley, Big Hoss, you two are gaining too much weight. I'm going to put you on a diet. And it's like,
no.
What is it, Dad? And he's like, you're going to be eating 5-foot Subway turkey sandwiches.
Oh, God.
And they're like, why? And he's like, because they're fucking good for you. Now shut the fuck up and go clean the storeroom or whatever. And they're like, God damn it. And then later he buys them and he brings in sacks of Subway sandwiches. He's like, eat this shit. It's good for you.
And I'm like, this is the weirdest goddamn endorsement ever.
Oh, wow, man.
And you can see the way their faces change and their voices change when they're saying something.
Acting.
Yeah, that isn't true.
They have to start thinking about what they're saying.
These sandwiches taste so good. How can they be good for us?
Let me explain it to you, dumbass. Like, and he tries to stay mad, you know, and it's fake mad. And oh, my God. And it's like, you're making me not want to watch this anymore. Like, I was really, really enjoying,
you know,
the pawn shenanigans.
When I had my little monthly visit to the home.
Your period?
I was going to see Eli. Nature.
You're menstruating?
Menstruation?
Big fans.
Oh, yeah. No, Eli, apparently, I don't know if this is too much information, but.
Wait, what are you going to do? What are you going to say?
He.
Should I press the choke button real quick while you tell me what you're going to say?
Whoa.
Go ahead.
Okay. No, he wants to go there. He's going to go there after the wedding.
Oh, to the pawn star
he's
shop?
He's going to go to the pawn shop. Apparently, according to Denise, he's already outlined it. He looked it up on Google Maps. He's got his route, his trade route, if you will. And he's going to try to take in stuff and...
A lot of the people I went to Vegas not too long ago, and that was a big thing to do.
So he's gonna have like some iPhone earbuds, and he's like,
I think we should give him things to take and see what happens.
All right, so I'm gonna put an open call to the fancy bastards. If anyone wants to give Eli something, then try to make it semi legit. You know, you're willing to part with it, but something that I'm not. You know, not so, like a pack of playing cards or something, unless they're fancy,
or they're from World War One.
Or unless they have a picture of the gambler on them. Sure. But if you want to send Eli something to take to the Pawn Stars pawn shop, then P.O. Box 1507 Little Elm, Texas 75068. Send me an email if you're going to send it, because if it's big, I'll have to go pick it up.
Just make sure you close the truck tailgate.
Oh, on your way. Eat a nutritious Subway sandwich. Don't have that problem. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they're going to kill that for me, just like they did American Chopper back in the day.
Well, then you need to start watching Top Shot.
What I heard on Twitter, though, is they're doing that in Top Shot, too.
Doing what?
Adding fake narrative.
I haven't seen it.
It's probably just so good you don't notice it.
Well, I mean, it's no different from...
A burglar runs through the shooting range like, guys, it's a stereotypical burglar wearing the striped suit and the mask. He's like, rubble, rubble. And they're like, shoot him with our antique guns.
The red team struggles with burgled by a stray jackalope out in the bungalow.
Speaking of all those weird words, I do want to mention, for anybody that is subscribed to The Vault, our post show is going to feature a... exploration of a glossary of hobo slang. This comes from the book from 1946, Hobos Exposed, or How to Be a Hobo. Kind of like an episode of Rocky and Bullwinkle. It had two titles.
Sure. Is there a centerfold in that? Or
Yeah. There's a hobo centerfold. Hobo fold.
Premium content.
So I'm gonna give these guys the hobo slanguage and see if they can come anywhere close to figuring out what it actually means. They won't be able to, because it's impossible.
Hobo sack leaves nothing to
the
imagination.
You're going
to
quit. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, he's straddling that bindle stick.
You're going to quiz us is what you're going to do,
I
right?
Yes, for maybe a second or two, and then it'll break down and we'll just read them, because it won't be that interesting.
Is it going to be weird when I know all of them?
I bet. I mean, you've killed a lot of hobos.
It's going to be weird when you know all of them in Spanish.
These are the things they've screamed to you. Yeah. These are the things they scream when you're disemboweling them. So, if you want to hear that, then sign up for the post show at the vault, vault.hijinksu.com, or donate at hijinksu.com/donations. Anyway. With that, let's take a quick break and be right back. Hi, Jinx and Sue Podcast. This is episode 80. Joel Watson from HijinksandSue.com, Alex Flores, DallasObserver.com, Roger Court, internet, I don't know. Do we ever establish why you don't like Twitter?
Oh, well, yeah, we can talk about that a little bit. For me, getting into, it's too late for me now.
You're kind of an asshole, so.
Well, there's that. Let's say I want to follow you, or I want to check up on your Twitterations.
Yeah.
I go to your feed through the website, right. And it's like, it's like I'm listening to you talk on the phone with other people, and I can
in the
only
middle
hear
of a conversation.
Your half of the conversation.
Right.
And that's the entirety of Twitter now.
Do you want to know what fixes that?
Not
signing
really.
Up. Because then you only see the conversations between me, you,
and then the people we follow in common.
This is true.
But see, my problem with
the
that
signal
is,
to noise ratio changes greatly when you're actually signed up.
I think it probably would for my friends, but like I went to a celebrity's Twitter feed the other day because I wanted to, I don't know, learn something about some show they'd just done or something. And it was totally incomprehensible. It was just at whoever. That's right. It is cool.
And yeah, but you don't see any of that when you're signed up. So I mean, that all just goes
away.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
And they actually changed that about like 2 or 3 years into it. They changed that because you used to see everything from everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think they figured out two things. That will help to kill their server much faster because they were still going down like 4 times a day back then.
Right. And they knew that you wouldn't like that.
And
so.
I was
they were
pissed.
Trying to court me.
I was to Roger Courtney.
Hey-o.
I was pissed when they first changed that, but then I realized it actually does. It gives you a little bit more signal, a little bit less noise. Mm-hmm. The only thing I didn't like about it was that I used to find people by who was talking to people I'd never heard of. But you're right. You don't want to follow Paul F. Tompkins and then see him go, "That's right, Ninja Sword Blaster.
Right.
I will be there in Cleveland." You know, like that shit doesn't matter. So you sign up. You do a couple of things that make this a lot easier for you. Sign up.
Couple of
friend
things.
Your
I
friend,
like doing things.
friend your friends. Friend the few celebrities you care about following. Mm-hmm. Then maybe even set up a couple of lists. One of real people and one of like celebrities. Mm-hmm. You can check the real people more often, the celebrities less often. The other thing you learn is this guy posts nothing but his dates or his promotional stuff. You realize you're not getting much from that. Unfollow. This other guy is hilarious, and he only posts, you know, like 5 times a day, so it's great. Mm. And you stick with that one. But unfortunately, and it's kind of like, for me, it's kind of like LiveJournal was in the late 90s and early 2000s. When you're not on it, all of a sudden people just stop talking to you because everyone you know is.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I told Twitter. Why you didn't know about my party? Because, oh, I told Twitter. So that happened for me with Facebook a lot, but I've still resisted. I have it. I just don't use it.
Sure. You're really pushing this Twitter. Are you hoping for a check from Big Stone or something?
I don't think they need me. I think they'd have to earn some money first.
I keep wanting to call him Bismarcky too.
Like, yeah,
that's the one that comes to my mind. And I'm like,
oh, baby, you.
Yeah.
So multi-talented. What an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Also, fakest name ever. Absolute fakest name ever.
Biz Stone.
Biz Stone.
Yeah.
That's like, my name is Max Power. Like, no, your name is not. It's not Biz Stone either, you freak.
Mi nombre es
Handsome Be Wonderful.
Yes, exactly. So, come on. You got to fucking sign up for Twitter. Yeah. And then if you hate it, just fucking stop using it. But get an app. Get a phone app and get a desktop app. Mm. And then you don't have to see any of the – and you also never have to go to the website again. Because Twitter, what it ends up being is a framework – for other people to make it usable.
Sure, it's a platform.
Yeah, because the website itself is pretty shitty.
Right.
It's gotten better, I guess, but it's completely unnecessary. You should never actually have to go to it. Most of the apps make the experience much nicer in the long run. So we have only got 10, 15 minutes left. I think we're going to go to the mail sack. Did you hear that? Why did it cut out like that?
Why did it cut out like that?
I don't know. See, that was what I was saying earlier. Let's try that again.
More time.
Then it got louder. There's something wrong with something. I don't know what's going on.
You got to get that piano tuned.
Oh my God. I don't have technical problems. So anyway. Mail sack, we had about 4 people ask the same question, so I'm going to read the first person that asked it here. Let's see. This comes from at Furby Frank on Twitter, and you can always post your questions to #HEPodcast. Have you guys heard about the Help Nathan Buy Firefly campaign? If so, what are your opinions? A lot of people asked that.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not real. It's... Nathan Fillion said...
Neither was the campaign to get a RoboCop statue in Detroit.
See, but one of those things is possible. The other one is not. The idea was that Nathan Fillion said in an interview, if I had $300 million, I would buy Firefly and produce it on my own. Okay, that's impossible. It's not for sale. It's not like anyone with $300 million can walk up to Universal and go, give me Firefly.
Joel, everything's for sale.
Right, well, they wouldn't sell it just out of spite. Second of all, $300 million, what is that for? The rights?
No, he said that if he won like the $300 million Super Bowl.
Powerball.
That was just like a lottery. So
the number was insane.
Yeah, no, he said if I won the lottery and won $300 million, I would totally do it. In other words, if he had a lot of disposable income.
Firefly probably cost about I'd say $2 million an episode, I think was a number that was thrown around for a while. So
really? I got my DVDs for like $30.
Yeah. But you still got to pay that $2 million, though, has to pay like every actor, you know, Joss, everybody. And then it's got to also somehow make money. But he said he would distribute it on the web. So anyway, these people started raising money. And this is what I'm curious about. They're not going to raise $0.
Right.
So what are they going to do with the like $5,000 they raise? I guess they're going to be like, here, Nathan. And then he gives it to a charity or something. Or,
sure. Why not? Yeah.
I mean, I don't think any harm can come from it, but I think it's silly if anyone thinks he's actually going to buy Firefly. That seems crazy to even consider that.
Something's going to come out of that. That's what I'm thinking. Something is going to, there are enough rabid brown coats out there to.
Well, the problem is, what are you going to do when Nathan Fillion owns Firefly? Okay, so who's available? Joss Whedon? Nope. He'll be making movies for the next, 5 years. Where are the sets? We destroyed them all. Okay, what about the directors? They're on other shows. The writers? Other shows. The other actors? Other shows.
Right.
So it's just silly. So,
who knows? I mean,
they'll get some amount of money, but
maybe they'll throw a convention.
I don't know. That is weird, though, that there isn't a Firefly con.
Yeah.
Because there was just last week, there was Gallifrey 1, the Doctor Who con, which is, it's tiny. It's like a little ball.
Everyone room. Has to fit inside a phone telephone box.
Well, it's much bigger on the inside.
Certainly. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of silly. The hopeful, tiny piece of me wishes something neat would happen because of it.
Well, did you see all the other folks, some writers and other actors said, I'm in.
I thought you said rioters.
Some rioters.
Riot!
No.
Quiet Riot was involved. Yeah. They were going to do it.
They all these
new theme song recording from Quiet Riot.
You can't take the sky from me!
This is a pretty generic question. This is from Hungry_Pirate @Hungry_Pirate. Favorite album of all time?
Oh,
how can you answer that question?
Come on,
you can't answer that question. So give me turn this into a good question. Apologies. I mean, thank you for asking. But come on.
I'm just used to Eli scoffing at everything.
Come on, guy. Yes, somebody has to make fun of the devoted reader listeners in Eli's absence. Give me an album that changed your life or changed your perception.
Oh,
for me, it was OK Computer.
Yankee Hotel Foxtrot for me.
Is that Wilco?
It's Wilco's album. Yeah.
You are such a Wilco.
Comedy. Are you going to go see them?
You're
such
a Wilco
at UNT.
No, I'm getting too old.
You're too old for Wilco.
Shit. No. There's like I was just complaining today because there's like three bands that I want to see and they decided to come to Dallas like
all the same
over 2 days.
Well, you got to see the Decemberists.
I got my tickets.
Are you coming?
Yeah,
come with us. We'll go together.
I got old people balcony tickets. I don't know if you got GA or not.
We got GA.
Okay. Well,
what's old people balcony? There was only one price when we bought them.
I got presale. So
yeah, I did too. There's a balcony there.
Where?
House of Blues.
Oh yeah.
Why would you want a balcony?
Seats.
He just said he got old people balcony seats. Remember?
Wow, I would almost rather do that.
I mean, you can check, but
you could probably
anyway.
Well,
huh?
Day after is.
Well, I mean, I've already bought.
Yeah. Day after is Arcade Fire in Ockerville River. So
I've never listened to them. I don't know anything about
Ockerville River.
No, or Arcade Fire. I've never heard them.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
No, I don't either.
They were being one of their new singles was being played at the fucking CVS last night.
Really?
Skinny
Jean Shark. So
December debuted at number one. Now, granted, it only takes 7 album sales to debut at number one. But
when you get a Grammy, you get bumped up to the top of the playlist at pharmacies everywhere.
We were just out somewhere, and it was like a store in the mall started playing the new Decemberist single. Right. What the fuck is going on? Well, my in-laws had heard it. I was like, my wife's mom likes to dabble in good music a little bit.
Trying to be hip.
Yeah, kind of. Like, they really liked Spoon, because I think Spoon was from Austin or something. Yeah. They live in Austin, so.
It's okay to like Spoon, though.
Yeah, but they did it for, like, hip old people reasons. Right. Like, we want to be hip. So, you know, we each have three tattoos. So,
what was the other band after Arcade Fire and Okkervil River? Or
those were three. Decemberists, Arcade Fire, and Okkervil River.
So anyway, 2 days. So. I was like, I'll indulge her hipness desires, and I'll burn her the new Decemberists album. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, here, you might like this. And we put it in. And she's like, oh, I bought this on iTunes. Right. And I was like, oh, okay. Why? Why do you even know about it? Like, it's so weird to me. Yeah. Decemberists are one of those bands where I remember I downloaded Last FM. Mm-hmm. In like 2005, and one of the very first songs it played was a Decemberist song off.
They
of like
pushed them really hard,
Picaresque or something,
yeah, Picaresque, yeah.
Something around that era. And so I got four of their albums mm-hmm. in one day. So it was like this massive influx of new amazing music all at once. And I basically only listened to them for like a year.
Yeah,
and they've not disappointed since. I think they've actually. It's not a band that just keeps getting better. They keep getting different. They keep doing something completely different.
Yeah, they really do try and change their sound up or explore something new.
Yeah, like last time around, you know,
they made a really good REM record this past
right.
time.
Right, you know? Noticed that like some of the chord progressions, like one of them is the one I love. Yeah. It's just exactly the one I love.
What's his name? Was it Peter Buck? Did guitar work on this? Or
he did. Well, that explains it.
Yeah, it's the ties
it's
are
kind
a
of a
closer.
Murmur. It's like a Murmur era REM record. It's, yeah. It's like Murmur and parts of Out of Time, and it's it really is an REM record.
There's a good reason.
It's
for
the
that.
Best REM record in the last 20 years. Really, I really enjoy it. But like before that, it was this fake. They've done a couple of faux narratives based on like stories where the last time around it was The Hazards of Love was about listening to like 60s era folk. Mm-hmm. And then making this story about this sort of changeling in the woods.
A rock opera about,
woodland creatures. And
which it's pretty sad that one of my like favorite, to be kind of sappy, like love songs of all time is about this changeling and his bride crashing in a ship because the river spirit won't let him,
I mean, it's very bizarre. Yeah. And then before that, the narrative was about, this Japanese fable about a wife that spins feathers into silk, and then turns out she's a crane, and that's all bizarre. But then this time around, and then even back, it was like they had a whole album about sort of like, 1890s
maritime,
dead British children, just the horribleness of life back then. But, and then this album it seems to be from the perspective of like settlers of America, kind of mm-hmm. like it seems like, you've got coal miners, right. You've got
it's a very Midwest kind of.
Yeah. You've got people talking about like foraging land and like crossing the country. And my favorite reference in the whole album is,
the Louisiana Purchase.
There's a lot of Magna Carta. No, there's this sort of theme that runs throughout the album where three or four times they mention enduring your fellow man.
It's a very communist
your
sort
neighbor's
of,
burden, like right, bearing mm-hmm. the burden of your neighbor, and like all this stuff where it's like it paints this very vivid picture of like, God, I am surrounded by cocksuckers, but we have to hold each other up or we're all gonna die. Right. When the winter comes, we're all gonna fucking die. But I'm enduring these assholes and maybe I'm putting in the assholes part, but still that's what I get from it.
Sounds like a bunch of socialist propaganda, if you ask me.
I'd say their whole catalog changed what I thought about music entirely. But OK Computer was an eye opener for me. I was like, you can do things that don't just have power chords.
Right.
It's like the first album I've listened to that wasn't just power chords, basically.
I think the most recent album that sort of changed my perspective on what you could really do with sort of pop music is Merriweather Post Pavilion by Animal Collective.
No idea what that is.
I know Animal Collective, but I don't know their
work. It's their
work.
Their most recent
album.
The
most recent one? Yeah. Okay.
I've never had that sort of, found sound, kind of lots of white noise stuff really work and click for me. Like,
is it sort of an ambient?
It's not ambient.
No,
it's not like Godspeed or,
Because I downloaded, I was telling people on Twitter when I was writing the book, I had to have music with no lyrics so I could hear something but not think about it. And so people were like, okay, download Godspeed, You Black Emperor. I got some of that. that's hard for me to get into just because
did you get any
7 hours of
12-minute, yeah, you know, 45-minute songs. Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of people said, okay, get some fuck buttons. And so I got a bunch of fuck buttons. And they've got some stuff that I can listen to, but some of it is literally just like feedback and beeps and boops. Right. Like it's not really a song.
I would recommend This Will Destroy You.
That's okay.
Good. Yeah, go check them out.
But what I did end up finding based on a Twitter recommendation, the best band I've heard in, and it's one guy, goes by the name of Cloud Kicker, which I think is a reference to Tailspin.
It is amazing
melodic metal. And I don't want to say melodic so that you think Dream Theater, but it's like, well, fuck, here. I'll tell you what I'll do. I will end the show, because we're just about out of time. I'll end the show playing the beginning track, which is just sort of a noise thing, and then it goes into the second track off of his new album called Beacons. It's I don't know how Bandcamp structures their URLs. It's either cloudkicker.bandcamp.com or bandcamp.com/cloudkicker. I can't remember. It is amazing. It's pay what you want. I gave the guy $10. It is the best record I've heard. I've basically written every comic for the past 2 or 3 months listening to that record. And then his other stuff was a little bit harder to find. He's got like 2 EPs on that Bandcamp. But apparently he has 2 other full-length albums which aren't available at all. So I had to download them on the torrent places. But I would gladly send him money for
interference
if he made them available.
What that was.
But yeah, please, by all means. So as we go out, you're going to hear that. Also, speaking of music, all of our music, our theme song, and our interstitial music is provided by Spiraling, spiraling.net, and tombrislin.com. And I think we are just about done. There was a couple of questions left, but we'll save those. Real quick, when this is from at Arcee's, how did you score the interview with at Nerdist Chris Hardwick? Twitter, of all things.
Oh.
Twitter. You just ask people, and they respond. Oh! The first person that signs up for a donation after listening to this podcast, they can't see what you're doing, Alex, signs up for a donation after this podcast, rolling donation, $5 or more, is going to get a men's size medium t-shirt that says Seabiscuit on it.
Now, let me, since we're doing our...
Alex, Joel? Alex has generously donated the men's medium Seabiscuit.
I wish you guys could see it, too.
And
it's majestic.
It's jet black with a nice yellow...
Mustard. It's a mustard.
Mustard yellow.
Almost a gold. I believe that's goldenrod.
I believe the typeface is copperplate.
Sure, could be a goldenrod copperplate.
Yeah. And if I'm, you know, since we're doing our pledge drive right now, Joel,
this is a serif font.
Yes, it is.
Okay,
the serifs are really small. Okay. It's for stability.
You don't want those T's falling over.
Yeah, I mean, you need speed for this shirt. During our pledge drive, I'd like to make a challenge, Joel.
What is the challenge, Alex?
If someone were to double your request for a pledge, I will triple, because it's got to be worth it.
Wow.
I will personally modify this shirt with screen printing ink for textiles.
Okay.
Instead of to say Seabiscuit, uh-huh, I'll make it say Sex Biscuit.
That is a one.
That is for a triple.
Deal.
Now you can't do a triple because there is no 15, so that'll have to be a $20.
Then I guess.
So here's the thing. So here it is.
Then I guess the math doesn't work.
Here it is. I will have to renounce my initial offer. The first person to sign up for a $20 monthly rolling donation, hijinxandsuit.com/donations, is gonna get the men's medium Seabiscuit. And if you choose, Alex will modify it to say
Sex Biscuit. I don't think we should
give him a
choice. How could you possibly not choose that?
Well, if you do okay, here's where I put the challenge.
One-of-a-kind Sex Biscuit shirt.
$20 rolling membership.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You get the vintage pristine Seabiscuit shirt.
Right.
Men's medium.
Right.
Medium if they Seabiscuit double that.
No, you're going crazy now.
Oh, wow. Because, hey, look, it'll be one of a kind.
You're going crazy.
If they double that, I will make it into a Sex Biscuit shirt.
No. $20 gets it. $20 gets Sex Biscuit or standard Seabiscuit, either way.
Okay.
But you have to email me and say, I just signed up for a donation, $20, give me the Sex
Biscuit.
Sex Biscuit.
Yep. If you say anything but give me the Sex Biscuit, I will not respond. It must be phrased exactly, gimme, Now, the proper spelling, G-I-M-M-E,
right.
apostrophe, give me the Sex Biscuit.
Mm. Okay. Here's another challenge, Don't Joel. Do it, no! One more challenge.
This is like the knife show.
Yeah.
That's a real nice knife, but I can go even better.
Check this out. Oh, God, my colon.
We're going to double the order.
Randy Savage on the knife show.
He sells knives now. He sells knives now.
If
Bonesaw is ready. Bonesaw.
Oh, look, it's Nature Boy.
Get your ass to Mars.
Hey, here's the challenge. If you were to accept a greater donation, could we not only modify the Sea Biscuit into a Sex Biscuit?
Okay.
What if there was some sort of Hijinks and Sue podcast mark that Mr. Joel Watson will create, and I will put that on the back of the shirt.
Oh my God!
Wow.
That way it's commemorative.
I don't know.
For the 80th episode.
Listen, I won't.
You know what? Ooh. Screw that. I'll just put a number 80 on the
back. Okay, I won't make it canon.
I think 80 is the Sex Biscuit anniversary, so this works out really well.
There you go.
It is the Sex Biscuit shirt anniversary.
Is that the official ruling?
The screen-printed Sex Biscuit shirt anniversary is 80th anniversary. Okay. All right, guys. So thanks for listening. Ruled. Thank you to everyone that does donate and support the show. It would not exist without your donations, so I do appreciate that. Please, 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 if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, come see me next weekend. The weekend of the 3rd through the 6th, I think, is going to be the Emerald City Comic Con. It is the best Comic Con of the year. I like it better than San Diego because there aren't a bunch of movies there taking up all the space, and you can actually meet and talk to the creators and the media personalities. I think Leonard Nimoy is going to be there, and that's worth it just for that. But come see me, Emerald City Comic Con.
And on that note, you're going to be out there at the con. Yeah. I will be during that same weekend visiting Hogwarts, their Orlando campus.
Serious?
I am. Wow. It is our 3rd wedding anniversary, so I'm taking. Thank you. I'm taking my wife to go to visit her alma mater.
Can you take me instead?
We can trade if you want. You put on a wig, and then she will man
I will
table.
Be exhibiting with my friend Angela Mellick of the comic Wasted Talent, wastedtalent.com. Come see us. Come buy our stuff. It will be the first place you can ever get Hijinks and Sue Book 2. Even if you've already pre-ordered it, the first people to have it in their hands will be these Seattleite peoples. 2 weeks after that, I'll be in Chicago at C2E2. That's the weekend of, I believe, the 17th, 18th, 19th, somewhere in that area. Check your calendars, c2e2.com, emeraldcitycomiccon.com. Come see me, and we are out of here.